Are we a little too pampered in our modern society? Well, Skip Heitzig says that things have certainly changed in recent years when it comes to what people say they need to survive.
In the year 1900, a survey was conducted of what people believed they needed or had to have for life to be comfortable, for them to feel contented. And most people in our culture could name 72 things that they needed, 72 needs in life. 50 years later, 1950, Americans could name about 500 things they needed. Now, I wonder what it is today, what we say we need. Well, I need my laptop, and I have to have my cell phone, and Wi-Fi. You got to have Wi-Fi. How come you guys don't have Wi-Fi?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the Word of God and find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time.
When the world finally emerged from a devastating flood, and when the last eight people left alive stepped once again onto dry ground, God made them a promise, and He made that promise with a rainbow. Now, the rainbow has come to represent something entirely different in today's society, but originally God intended it to be a reminder of something very precious, the fact that God always keeps His promises. And we'll explore, among other things, the significance of the rainbow as we continue through our study of Genesis today on The Connection with Skip Heitzig. But before we do, here's a little help to get you reading God's Word on a daily basis.
What are you going to do to stay healthy in the new year? Eat right? Exercise? Go to the gym? Buy more workout DVDs? What about spiritually? What are you going to do to stay spiritually healthy? The Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig can help you get into the healthy habit of spending a little time in God's Word each day during the new year. It's the perfect gift to encourage someone you know to start a spiritually healthy habit. Get the Daily God Book from Skip Heitzig for just $15 when you visit connectionradio.org. A little discipline and hard work can produce some amazing results in your spiritual life in 2012. And the Daily God Book may be just the tool to get you on the road to being healthy and fit spiritually this year. Just call 1-800-922-1888 to order, or ask for the Daily God Book by Skip Heitzig for just $15. Or you can order when you visit us on the web at connectionradio.org.
You know, sometimes we get this picture of the God of the Old Testament gleefully wreaking havoc and destruction upon the people of earth. However, God is never happy about having to punish our wickedness, something that He made very clear was something very beautiful, the rainbow. We'll learn more in today's study, so won't you stick around and join us?
And make the connection.
Turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9, as Skip Heitzig gets today's study started with what is ultimately a political discussion.
I heard a story about three men who were arguing about which job, profession was the oldest. And one was a doctor, a surgeon, who said, well, you know, the Bible talks about God carving a rib out of Adam to make Eve. So he said, my profession would be the oldest in history. A friend of his who was standing nearby was an engineer, and he said, well, you know, the Bible also says that God in 6 days created order out of chaos and made the world. That, my friend, is the job of an engineer. The third guy standing by was a politician, and he smiled real big and said, ah, but who created the chaos? Politicians get their fair or unfair share of jokes. And most people today seem to have an avid dislike and distrust for human government. We are fed up, many of us, with those who run for office and make promises and then don't fulfill them, or do fulfill the promises we wish they wouldn't. But God did invent human government. And here we see in Genesis 9, God establishing for the very first time the authority for man to govern himself. That's implied in our text. There were only 8 people that made it onto and out of the ark. Noah, his wife, 3 sons, and their corresponding wives. And life started out simple. But rules had to be established early on in order that once those 8 people reach a level of many people in a society, it could function smoothly. And we're going to see that tonight in our study. If I were to divide up the chapter into 3 sections, I would do it the survival of Noah, verses 1 through 19. The sin of Noah, 20, 21 and 22. And then finally, the sons of Noah, 23 through 29. That's how the chapter is sort of divided up and laid out for us. But you just have to think of what it was like when they got off that ark and God made a covenant with them, how I guess, basic and simple life was. Pretty basic, not a whole lot of needs at that point. They needed a place to rest. They needed clothing. They probably brought that on the ark. It's interesting. In the year 1900, a survey was conducted of what people believed they needed or had to have for life to be comfortable, for them to feel contented. And most people in our culture could name 72 things that they needed, 72 needs in life. 50 years later, 1950, Americans could name about 500 things they needed. Now, I wonder what it is today, what we say we need. Well, I need my laptop, and I have to have my cell phone, and Wi-Fi. You got to have Wi-Fi. How come you guys don't have Wi-Fi? But those 8 people getting out of the ark had to experience life at the basics. And really, the Bible says there's really 2 needs that we have. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, having food and clothing, with these things we will be content. And really, that's all they had. They got out of the ark. It was very simple. The waters abated, and they're trusting now God completely in this brand new relationship. Well, there are in chapter 9 4 instructions that God gives to Noah and his sons. These 4 instructions about their life are the kind of instructions that would be permanent instructions. That is, all of Noah's progeny, his ancestors, or those that would come from him, all people at all times, in all places, have these same basic instructions by God. Number 1, and that is in verse 1, that the human life is to be perpetuated. Life is to be perpetuated. Notice the command. It's very similar to that what God gave to Adam. So God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. God had said that to Adam and Eve. Now here, twice in this chapter, God says the same thing. Life is to be perpetuated. Now notice, God blessed. God loves to bless. He loves it. God is the giver of good things, and he loves to give good gifts to his children, his kids. One of those beautiful blessings of God is children. You see, children, according to God, aren't a curse, they're a blessing. A beautiful psalm, Psalm 127, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, God said, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. I think we've done that. We've done a pretty good job of it, actually. Today, there are 6.7 billion people on earth. We filled it. It took from Noah's day to the year 1804 to produce 1 billion people on earth. But you can see that exponentially, that thing is going to take a little bit of time to reach 2 billion. In fact, it was 1927 where we were able on earth to produce 2 billion people. 1960, 3 billion. 1975, 4 billion. 88, 5 billion. 99, 98, 99. And now today, 6.7 billion people. So we have been fruitful, we have multiplied, and we have filled the earth. In fact, it is becoming in some places a real problem to maintain and sustain those people that are on the earth. But having said that, let me encourage you. This world needs the kind of children that you can produce. Christian children, those with a worldview of Christ, truth. And so whether you have your own kids or you adopt, your influence in a young life set loose in this world is so meaningful. Fill the earth with those kind of children. Turn them loose and watch what God can do. So that's the first instruction, that life ought to be perpetuated. Now, keep that in mind, because we're going to get to a story next time in chapter 11 where rather than filling the earth, they seem to congregate in one place. Instead of moving out toward different regions, they stay in one place, the land of Shinar, and there in Shinar, they congregate and they build a tower to reach heaven. We'll talk about that next time. But that was a problem, that at this time they stayed in one place. Here's the second instruction, that life ought to be prolonged, not just perpetuated, but prolonged. Verse 2. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth, on every bird of the air, on all that move on the earth, on all of the fish of the sea. They are given to your hand, or better yet, I have delivered them into your hand. I have delivered them, or I have granted, or I have bestowed them to you. And he goes on, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. Now notice in verse 2, four categories. Four categories of kinds of life and four different places. So he's covering it all. He says, every beast on the earth, every bird on the of the air, all that move on the earth, that's three, and all of the fish that are in the sea. So God covers all of life and basically tells mankind, you are to have dominion over all other life. Contrary to what you're fed today, that all forms of life, including human, are really all the same. You have a soul, your dog has a soul, fish have a soul, and it's all biological life, period. No, according to God, early on it was established that yes, there's life on earth, but you are the crowning creation made in the image of God. Your dog is not made in the image of God. Your cat is not made in the image of God. You and you alone are made in God's image. Thus, in that image, you have dominion and domination over all that is on the earth. Now, we read in verse 2, the fear of you and the dread of you shall be on every beast of the earth. I was watching last week a National Geographic TV special, and they talked about how animals, when they come in contact with man, for the most part, are afraid of man. And they sighted a rhinoceros, 7 tons. 7-ton beast could take a truck, SUV, and toss it around like a toy. But basically, a rhino is shy. And when sees a man, it will run away unless provoked. If you get in their space, if you provoke, they will attack. But it's not their nature. Their nature is to run, to be shy, to retreat. So God says, the fear of you, the dread of you, shall be on every beast, etc., etc. You can see there would be a problem. In the animal kingdom, reproduction is quick. Maturity is rapid. So animals could quickly, easily overrun the world and overpopulate in comparison to human beings. So God instilled a dread, a basic fear of mankind in the animal world. And it's a good thing because now mankind is able to hunt them, kill them, and eat them. And so for the sake of the survival of all of those species, that would be needed. Verse 3. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. I have given you all things, even as the green herbs. Prior to the flood, man was a vegetarian. Chapter 1, verse 29. God declares, I've given you every herb that has seed, every plant and tree is for food for you. So prior to the flood, mankind would go out and eat berries and nuts and plants, etc. And though God didn't give a specific prohibition against eating meat, he just said, eat the plants. Here God says, eat it all. Plants and animals. Our forebears, Adam, Eve, Cain, Abel, and the rest of the gang before Noah, they were vegetarians, but that's not the way we were designed. Your mouth reveals that God designed the kind of teeth that are for tearing, chewing meat. Now, some people try to equate being spiritual with your diet. So if you're really holy, you'll be a vegetarian and you'll have strict dietary rules because that's what holy people do. And that was a huge deal when I was growing up in the 70s and before that in California. And I remember I was a brand new believer. I was living down at the beach. I was out in the front yard enjoying a beautiful day. And I looked up and I saw a guy in a white robe with a Bible. Long hair, white robe, and the sun was behind him. And so it was like an apparition. I thought, wow, it's the Lord. That was my first thing. This is Jesus. Wow. Until he talked. He said, are you a believer? Because I had my Bible out. He goes, I said, I am. I believe in Jesus. And I'm still looking at him like, would that be you? And then he said, do you eat meat? He must have seen the McDonald's wrapper next to the Bible. I said, well, I just had a Big Mac. And he proceeded to give me a tongue lashing about eating meat and how ungodly I was and God made us not to eat meat, etc. He must have never read this, where God gives the mandate to survive on the proteins, the enzymes of the animal kingdom. So now, though Cain was a farmer and Abel was a shepherd, now Noah and his boys, they're going to be hunters. And they're allowed to do that. That is part of the mandate. Except verse 4, you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. So God says, eat anything you want, but now here's one restriction.
You know, God doesn't make rules and set standards for us just because he wants to see us dance like a puppet on a string. There are reasons for every command, every rule, and every standard. And those reasons are all in our best interest. It's been that way from the very beginning, and it won't ever change. Every time we see a rainbow, it reminds us of that fact, that we serve a good and loving God. That's all the time we have for today. But before we go, here's Skip Heitzik and his wife, Lenya, in studio. Lenya?
Skip, I have the privilege of living with you, so I get a sneak peek into your personal quiet time.
Uh-oh.
Which I have to tell your listeners, he is so precious, and he doesn't miss his quiet time. And the authentic Skip that you see in the pulpit, he really is that kind of guy at home as well. But I bet they'd like to know what your private devotion time is like with God and what you had in mind when you were writing the Daily God Book.
My daily devotions. Well, actually, you've been an inspiration in my devotions by the way you have heard the voice of God and applied the scripture in almost like he wrote a letter to you kind of a way. I was always a little more analytical. You've helped me be more practical. But my approach varies. I mean, you know, sometimes I'll take what I call the Roy Gustafson approach. He taught me something years ago of taking the Bible that on Sundays you're going to read whatever your church is going through. On Mondays you're going to read something from the legal books, the Torah, then the historical books, then the prophetical books, so that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you're reading from a different section of Scripture. And it helps sort of take the boredom away. You're balancing out reading all of the truth simultaneously through a year. Then at other times, I'll want to read a devotional. And if I read a devotional, whether it's Morning and Evening by Charles Spurgeon or the Daily God Book, I've gone through that. I want to read myself what is around that, the context of it. And I kind of get my own feel, and then I'll listen to what Spurgeon or Chambers says. Right now, I'm kind of taking a totally different approach, and I'm reading the book of Isaiah and the Gospel of Mark, as well as a psalm and a proverb. I don't know why, but those two are stories that have just gotten my attention and are compelling me. I guess one day I woke up and said, I don't really know a whole lot about Isaiah. I mean, I've taught him and I've studied him, but I kind of want to get a fresh glimpse on what he was writing and what was going on in his life to cause him to make the stands that he did for God and against other nations and even against his own nation. So those are just sort of compelling things that draw me in from time to time. So I'm not really consistent in my approach. I mix it up a bit, but I like to do it every day.
You don't just have a Bible approach in study. You also have a prayer approach. You have different things you pray for each day as well, right?
That's true. I'd keep a list. And this is something, again, you showed me from a YWAM journal. And it happened to be a really good template. So what I do is I take the days of the week, and on certain days I pray for generalities as well as specific things that I write down, and I just make that as a matter of prayer for that day, and I do it every single week. I sort of marshal my way through it.
So I think the best thing if you want to have a quiet time is to have a plan, and those things will get you up and keep you going, but of course you're meeting with the Lord every day.
I would say do it consistently. I would say do it early. I know not everybody's a morning person. They've got to listen to some night people, and they can really get a better grasp going to sleep. I kind of like to do both, something in the morning, something at night, morning and evening. That was Spurgeon. Pick a quiet place. If you're going to have quiet time, get a quiet place where you can tune everything out except God's voice bouncing around in your own heart.
Beautiful.
Well, thanks, guys. And for a copy of Skip's Daily God Book or a copy of today's teaching, just call 1-800-922-1888. We'll send you one on CD for just $6, or you can order at connectionradio.org. Plus, if you'd like to hear more from Skip, he has over 1,200 teachings covering a wide variety of topics and going through the entire Bible, all online for you to listen to. Just visit connectionradio.org/library to browse through what's available and start listening today. And as always, if you have any questions or comments, you can always write us at The Connection. That's P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199.
And make the connection.
Continue through chapter 9 of Genesis next time, so I hope you join us for more of this study through the Bible's first book, here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.